In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lights are up, trees are decorated, Christmas music fills the air. And yet purple adorns our altar. Our music is more longing than joy-filled. And the Gloria in Excelsis, the great song of Christmas that the angels sang to the shepherds in the fields, is cut out. We don't sing it, for we are waiting. We are waiting for joy. We are waiting for happiness. Above all, we are waiting for Christ to come. Regardless of your family traditions, here you see the reality. This is the reality of your life. You are waiting. And so we don't add things in this space. We take things out. We cut things out. For waiting is not a time to celebrate, but a time to prepare. Waiting is a time for repentance. For the King of heaven and earth is coming, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. If we don't understand why we are waiting, then this Palm Sunday reading on the first Sunday of Advent seems completely out of place. Palm Sunday doesn't lead to Christmas. It leads to a cross. It leads to death. It leads to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, a Lamb once slain, yet who now lives, and before whom the hearts of men will melt with fear. We are waiting for him. So Advent is not preparing us for Christmas. The beginning of the church year, this season we call Advent, is not preparing us for Christmas. Or for Easter, for that matter. But for our Lord's second coming, when he comes in glory to judge the living and the dead, we are waiting for that. We are waiting for Christ to return. Even today, even on Christmas Day, even on Easter and every other day, we are waiting for Christ to return. And if he doesn't come in the next 21 days, then we will decorate and we will celebrate and we will sing with joy and gladness, celebrating his first coming in the world. We will. But we also understand that Christmas never satisfies us completely. Oh, we will have the nativity scenes and the poinsettias and the trees and the lights. We will have it all. But it still doesn't satisfy us completely. We are still waiting. Perhaps even we will have peace. Perhaps only for a few moments as we ponder the mystery of that holy day. But we are still left longing for something more. Burdens still fill our shoulders. Tears still wet our eyes. And this life that we live, well, it feels like we are being swept along in the river of life faster than we even know. It's no secret that Christmas and even December is one of the hardest times of year for most people. Maybe not for us, but it is for them, as they celebrate without loved ones, as their life did not go the way that they had hoped and planned in 2017. Kids have moved away, loved ones have passed away, the body continues to grow weak and perhaps is impaired beyond fixing. So we can begin to wonder what our purpose in this life is, why we are still here. Then, those that we served are no longer need our service. And we can begin to also start to determine our value by the cards that we get, or by the family calls we receive, or the gifts that we have. We know how foolish all of that is. None of it lasts. But we're looking for something, for love, for value, for a place in this life. This month that the world paints as the most magical time of year often leaves us wanting far more, often leaves us asking what our purpose in this life truly is. Am I still needed here? Do I still matter? Or am I simply a replaceable cog in the machine of humanity? Marketers recognize this. So be unique, stand out from the pack, which means you buy their product, right? But when everyone does that, then no one is different. We're all the same once more. So the Christless shower one another with gifts and personalized presents and treats and food and all sorts of stuff to show them that they have value and meaning, that they mean something to them. But what happens when those people who showered us with love, what happens when they pass away? Or when they no longer come to our house for Christmas? What happens when they are no longer around to make us feel loved and needed and valued? Marketers and family recognize something. We have a desire to be wanted. We want to be valued. We don't simply want to be grouped in with everybody else, but we want to be valued for who we are as an individual. Far too many run around this month trying to find value and purpose. Yet pretty soon they realize that the world doesn't care about them at all. If you don't buy their product, they'll quickly move on to someone who will. And even family has a busy life. And when we're gone, life will continue to march along for them. It will. And so here stands Christ. He's coming. Here stands Christ, and he never deals with us amidst the crowd, but always on a one-on-one basis. And this isn't some ploy to get people into pews. In Christ and in him alone, we have value and meaning and purpose. So apart from Christ, we are rather sad and pointless creatures who string lights, bake cookies, and buy personalized gifts by buying something mass-produced. So it's not until that we know Christ that we truly, truly know who we are. You are valuable because you are his. You are his creature. You are his redeemed creature. He knows all about you. He knows your past. He knows the skeletons that are in your closet. He knows what makes you tick and what moves you. He knows your trials and your burdens, your longings, the longing that fills your soul to be needed and appreciated and loved. He knows the baggage that you drag in behind you wherever you go. He knows all your twists and turns. He even knows the very hairs of your head. That is how interested he is in you. That is how much time he takes with just you. He spends the time to count every single hair, and he finds joy and delight in it. Something that we so quickly shave off or cut, he finds joy in. So to you, Jesus comes, to you. You can close the gates of your heart to him, and he won't force himself in. He will weep over you, even as he wept over Jerusalem. Longing to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you are not willing. You are too busy with something else. Something else occupied your mind. And he won't force himself to come to you. Think of all those who drive past on their merry way. Think of how many empty places there are, not just in our church, but in other churches. People are too busy. They're too busy to receive Christ. He does not force himself upon them. And think of even this. We even say, don't take Christ out of Christmas. And yet when Christmas Day rolls around, we'd rather prefer to spend it with family than with Christ. But do you see how he loves you? He doesn't simply deal with you one among many. Rather, he comes to you and only to you. As he turned a gentle gaze towards St. Peter, as he whispered a tender word to St. Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and even as he spoke only to Peter, though the other disciples were standing by, he spoke only to Peter three times, "Do you love me?" So now this maker of heaven and earth directs all his attention toward you. He is your king. You do not share him with someone else. You have all of him. You do not simply have a part, but you have him fully and completely. He's not distracted by anything else. You have his undivided attention. He is your king, after all. He He is your king who suffered and died for you. You know his history. You know who he is. You know his past and his future. But you must believe. You must believe that he is king to you and that he desires to live with you. You occupied his mind as he marched forth to Jerusalem, refusing to turn back. You filled his thoughts as he stretched his back out to the scourge. You were the love of his heart as he refused to come down from that cross. It is for you that this king died, not for 1,000,000 other people, but for you. That is the sweet, consoling, personal, life-giving message of the cross. You have value and meaning and purpose, for the Son of God shed his blood for you. And if you have any doubts whether you are included, then simply ask yourself, are you part of this world? Of course you are. And did not Jesus come to take away the sins of the world? Why, yes, he did. Then every drop of blood was shed for you. And so it's to you this very day that Christ desires to come to make your heart his throne, the almighty maker of heaven and earth, who spins those distant galaxies and keeps the stars in their orbit, pauses to direct all his attention to you as he whispers a simple word, the body of Christ given to you. He touches you and only you. You are not some number to him, one among many, a replaceable part in this life. No, no, no. You are intimately known by him. You have a place. You have meaning. You have substance. You have value because you are his, and he is your king. If you are harassed by doubts during December or Christmas, wondering what your purpose in all of this is, or do you still have any meaning, then pause and remember this king who comes to you, not just once, but week after week, day after day, through his word and his sacraments, he rides forth to make your heart his throne and to make you his holy kingdom. You have a purpose to patiently wait for him, to patiently wait for his return. And where the heart receives this king with a firm faith, it does not fear sin, death, hell, or any other evil. It does not care what others think about us or how they value us. It does not even mind what its purpose is in this life. For it knows its place. It knows its place in Christ's loving arms. So we will not get too high or too low in December. We will not let Christmas bring us up too high emotionally or too low. For we cannot be harmed. We cannot be harmed by anything. Even if 1,000 devils would pursue us, we cannot be harmed. Even if we are forgotten by the world, even if we are forgotten by our loved ones, we cannot be harmed, for we know our place in Christ. In short, we are kings with Christ, reigning over all things, for we follow the King of heaven and earth, who is quickly coming back to bring us into that heavenly kingdom. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.